everybody. This is Pastor Chaz Weir once again on Addictive Love, your co-host. Hey, man, we should do a shout-out once again to our host, Elder Robert Gould, who's getting healthy. Get well, Elder, get well. Hey, man, but I'm Pastor Chaz Weir once again hijacking Addictive Love, 2x2 Ministry. We're here once again. We got a great friend in the Lord once again, y'all. Pastor Mike Blair of Cornerstone Heartland Church. He's here once again. You can catch him at 1501 North 33rd Street inside Shiloh Christian Worship Center, where Cornerstone Heartland Church is currently planted, and they are working and doing the work of the Lord. He has his lovely wife, Thisa Blair, with us here today. Hello, hello, and how are y'all doing?
Doing good.
Doing good. Hey, man, don't you? The Pastor Mike's not nervous, but his wife is. But we're gonna break the shell. Hey, man, how you doing, Sister Thisa?
I'm blessed.
Amen. Amen. She's blessed. I'm blessed. We're blessed. Our producer Cam is blessed. Our Facebook family is blessed here watching us live as we are here in Christian Radio KCRO 660 AM. We want to thank EKG Environmental, our sponsor for Addictive Love here once again, and we're just going to get right to it, y'all. We're going to say a word of prayer. Pastor, could you lead us, please?
Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here today, Lord. It didn't look like it was going to happen. You know, I'm driving down here to get here on time and hit a pothole, tire blew, and I was 5 minutes after 11. I was supposed to be here by 11:30. Called another man of God, and like God says, he brought the Brother Wendell brought the
Amen. Hallelujah.
Brought the four-way. Brought the jack. Thank you, ended up having a donut in the car I just bought. So we got that on there.
Lord, you're good.
And called up, and he said, come on in. We still got some time. So even though when the devil tried to shut it down, he couldn't. God provided. God provides each and every day. Miracles that are going through. I just want to thank God today for being able to have the opportunity to be here with my wife. Thank you, Chaz, for God putting on your heart to invite us on in here. And thank you, KCRO, for allowing us to be here. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Man, you know what? Before we get into what God is doing at Cornerstone, y'all can look back at a couple of our episodes and hear from Pastor Mike how you can volunteer. All that information is going to get out there, where they meet at, how you can come be a part of the ministry that they're doing with the shelters here in Omaha and in Council Bluffs. But one thing I want to hint on first is about how you got here today, right? Would you consider that a testimony of your marriage?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Break it down, Thisa. Break it down. Well, how would you, because I always look at things like God doesn't do nothing without us getting a lesson from it, right? And for you two to persevere, to have a brother that you could call on to come at that particular time to still get you here, that speaks a testimony of your strength and your zeal and your love for Christ and your marriage. So I just want to give you guys a couple moments to kind of speak on that.
Yeah, it's a complete restoration, man. Because there was times, you know, even 5 years ago, we'd call people and nobody would show up. Nobody would be there. Nobody would show up because the chaos and the drama and the situations that we put others through.
Okay.
I mean, we couldn't even sit down and have a civilized conversation together.
You told you two.
Yeah, okay. Our marriage. God completely restored it.
Hallelujah.
It was on the verge of a complete divorce. But we both had to rely upon God and put God in our lives and trust in him.
Amen.
Where he had to completely separate us from each other to realize what he can do for us. And that's the miracles that God does. God does complete restoration in your life and in your marriage if you allow him to.
Amen. Spoken like a true man of God, a true pastor who knows that the Lord is always going to be there for him. But, you know, I feel a feminine side out there, right? We got some female listeners out there. They want to know, how does a woman of God continue to press forward? Sister Thisa, your husband gave us a bit of information. He said he was on the brink of divorce. You guys could barely even stand one another when it comes to conversating one-on-one, et cetera, et cetera. How has Jesus came into your life as a wife to deal with this man sitting next to you?
It's been a roller coaster. First, God had to separate us, and we had to build our own relationships with God. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be sitting here today. I had to build a strong foundation with him and learn to love myself so I could love others. If you've been to church, you know, like, I'm always running around. I prefer to be in the background, so excuse me if I'm not very talkative today. But I just do whatever needs to be done.
No, you're right. Trust me, I'm going to throw some questions at you.
Okay.
You said you do what needs to be done. How do you do what needs to be done? What presses you to do what needs to be done? How do you even recognize that? Like, there's a woman of God right now. Let's just make it like this. There's a woman of God out there right now whose husband is in the ministry, or she's solo in the ministry, and she doesn't quite know where she fits. What would you say?
I felt the same way. I didn't think I fit, but God just uses you. He recognizes yes. where you're needed. He shows you. You just know. It's instinctual now. I just keep my eyes open, and I'm directed where to go and what to do and who to help.
That's Holy Spirit.
Led by the Spirit.
Yeah, that's Holy Spirit led. And those of you women out there who feel like you have no need in the ministry, some women feel as if, and trust me, I've ordained women in the past. I've led women ministries, Bible studies, et cetera. So I know some of the ministry. I have a wife, right? I got four daughters. So I know what the ministry can occur when it comes to women and females. So I know what they go through. I know some of the things that they have to fight a little bit harder for. So to be led by the Holy Spirit, to hear the Holy Spirit, lets us know that our women are called as well. Men, we're called to a specific honor and protection and provision to walk in the stance in which God has for us. But we have to understand and realize, women, you are called to. Women, you have an importance in the ministry, and don't ever allow no one to undermine your importance in the ministry. Sister Thisa, you spoke about trusting in God.
Yes.
Now, I want you to take us down memory lane in your marriage when it got rough, when it got heavy. Do you recall the moment when you began to trust more in God in your marriage and in yourself? Because you said something, maybe you said you had to start loving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hint on those points because there's some women out there right now who don't feel like they have that type of power or authority in Christ right now. There's some women out there who don't even know Christ right now. So do your testimony. Please feed them.
I struggled with depression and low self-esteem. And being separated from Michael gave me time to work on myself, things that I was ignoring before. And, you know, getting into the Word of God and listening to others preach, I started to realize how valuable I am and that I'm just as important as everybody else. And I deserve to be loved, and just as everybody does in this world. And I had to, you know, realize my value and see that God made me for a purpose. And
Amen.
That, you know, it's my purpose to love everyone. And I can't do that if I can't love myself first. So he showed me how to do that, you know, just by getting in the Word and, you know, helping others and doing things that are in the Bible actually helps me build my relationship with him. And you know, just fill my purpose in the world. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
No, you're fine. Like okay. I was saying, I mean, I understand it's your first time on KCRO on the radio, but like I said, I'm going to help you. Your husband's right there with you. We really want those out there who are listening to hear, and what I hear in your voice is I hear confidence.
Yes.
I do hear that. And like you said, there's nothing wrong with working in the background. There's nothing wrong. Guess what? If I didn't have this producer named Cam here, this show wouldn't be going on. Without the producer working behind the scenes, editing and doing the right things, keeping things, even sometimes let me know to shout out the sponsor or let me know how much time we got available, et cetera, et cetera. This show wouldn't continue to go on, right? So there's always somebody doing something behind the scenes that does not get the credibility, the notoriety that they deserve. But I was always raised as a child to give folks their flowers while they can smell them. So as we're giving you your flowers, Sister Thisa, I want to ask you something for those women out there who may want to know a little bit about you. What's your favorite book of the Bible?
Matthew.
All right. The Gospel of Matthew. Sister Thisa Blair's favorite book of the Bible is Matthew. Pick it up, women. You haven't heard of the Word of God. You haven't dug into it. You haven't studied. Go into the book of Matthew and see what's in there. Amen. But I want to ask you something as well. Give us an insight. Sister, we've talked to your husband. We know about the work that you do with the shelters in Omaha, the shelter in Council Bluffs. We know that you feed the folks on Sunday nights. We're still reaching out volunteers. Reach out to Pastor Mike Blair. You'll have his information, 402-214-5252. You can contact him. You can check him out Fridays, like I said, at 33rd and Charles at Shiloh Christian Worship Center. Inside is where Cornerstone Heartland Fellowships and Worships on Sundays 7 p.m., dinner at 6 p.m., volunteers, give food. He'll mention all that in his own voice. I'm just throwing it out there for some of our listeners that may not have heard our previous show. But with all that going on, we know your husband's a laborer. We know your husband toils in the work of the Lord. We know he attains unto wise counsel. We know that he ministers the gospel in truth. But you also have a ministry that God has called you to. And we don't want to undershadow that. We want to speak about what God has done for you to help the women at the Lydia House. Give us a little insight to that program. How can people contact you to assist? And also give them the praise report on the sister from Sunday night.
Okay. Well, I take in our church and at the Lydia House, I mentor a couple ladies from the Lydia House, and then I am taking one woman from our church through discipleship course right now. It's almost like sponsorship. I am mentoring a young lady named Jamie. And basically, I mean, she calls me twice a day, lets me know how she's doing, if she needs anything. You know, I might give her advice or just be a listening ear or read a couple Bible verses with her. It's just important for me to help familiarize her with the Bible and, you know, principles of the Bible, and also show her that, you know, there's positive things and happy things that comes from, like, getting your life back on track and having God in your life. I mean, the population at the Lydia House and in our church, it's very diverse. It's all, like, socioeconomic classes. It's all races, ages.
We got people battling with mental disorders, substance abuse disorders.
Addiction.
You have to be well-grounded.
Yeah.
Yeah, well-experienced in the Lord and very patient. Very patient, folks. How can someone, how did you get in contact with the sponsorship or assisting women at the Lydia House for that woman out there right now that's saying, wow, I believe that's what I'm called to do. I believe that's my purpose.
Well, mine, Jamie just asked me, will you be my mentor? And I called Shelly at the Lydia House, and I was like, is there any prerequisites? And she's like, no, you just have to be a positive role model.
Okay.
And that was it. Okay. And
we'd like to give a shout-out to the Lydia House, too.
Hey, yeah. I was just about to say that. Yeah, shout-out to
it. Those girls, anyway, you talk about battles. We had the girls, we brought them in and for our 6 o'clock Sunday service, because they got Lydia, Jamie's talking about, she goes to the Lydia House program down there.
Okay.
And on that program, okay, we can't. They got, and in that program, they started to come to our church service on Sunday nights, but then the director, she's talking about Shelly, told them they couldn't come for a little while because, you know, because the people, some of the people that come from Francis House and stuff like that ain't always best behavior. When we're battling with people with their homelessness and stuff like that, they kind of denied them from coming. So I called down there for about a month straight and opened the doors, and they come back now. And then those girls at Lydia House, we have them rotating in our Sunday school schedule. Females there, because it helps them build their relationships. And a lot of them are trying to get back their kids back and stuff. So two girls will do the Sunday school, then the next 2 weeks another 2 girls will do it. They're kind of committed, and they're a team, and they're part of our church.
Amen. Amen. Being a part of the body of Christ is important. One thing that I've noticed thus far in the infancy of your pastorship, taking over for your uncle, Duncan Blair, who's an amazing man of God, who's transitioned to be with the Lord, I see a lot of zeal, and I see a lot of perseverance in you, which is important for a man of God. A pastorship, not to give up on people. I can tell that, like you said, with the diverse crowd that you deal with, mental health, you got physical disabilities, you got some demonics and some darkness, some past traumas that people have dealt with when it comes to addictions, when it comes to sexual impurity, things that people dealt with. You seem to have some thick skin, bro. And we need that in the ministry. Some folks, when we live in a society, are so sensitive. Living in a society, whenever somebody says something or criticize somebody, they take it so critical, and then they want to lash out and run away and become the victim, right? And victimhood. Not giving up on folks. And you being so stern in that area of ministry. Does that liken to the fact about your testimony in Christ not giving up on you?
100%.
Okay, break that down for those who may be listening, who maybe the world has shown them their rear end, right?
Yeah.
And they need some motivation. Go on.
Well, like I said, 2021, I found my brother's body dead on a fentanyl overdose. Before that, I had like 9 years sober. And I resented God when I found his body dead. Me and my wife, actually, we were raising his daughter. We went up there. He was supposed to have a visit on Friday night. He never showed up. But we got there on Monday. It was just strange because the inside of the screen door was locked from the inside. So we opened that bedroom window up, and you could smell the dead body coming out of the house. We found his dead body there, sitting there. That's when I fell back into my addiction. Resented God, fell back in my addiction. And that's when, like I said, like 5 years ago, our marriage was in shambles because I was off to the races again. I know what it's like to be unlovable. I know what it's like to be unbearable. I know what it's like to battle through that. And by the blood of Christ, I don't have to live that way anymore.
Hallelujah.
So I persevered through those addictions because of Christ. I persevered through those trials and errors because of Christ.
Hallelujah.
And even the simple things right now, we're still persevering through battles as a pastor, as a Christian. You know, every day we persevere through something. As I was saying, and on the way here, if you heard that prayer earlier, we had faced perseverance here. I was going down 108th Street right there, hit a pothole about 108th of Maple, and the tire blew. Luckily, I had a donut in there and called another brother in Christ up. He was there not even within 5 to 10 minutes later. We got the tire switched off, put on, and we made it up here. You know,
Amen.
God yes, still Lord. Knew we needed to be here for a purpose, and we're here for a reason, and that's because God allowed us to be.
Man, you know what? I love to hear these things, and you don't know how much that your testimony for you and your wife and persevering through your marriage and to be in the ministry and where God has you right now is so paramount right now to someone listening. Someone right now feels as if they have no way. Someone right now feels as if they have no value, no purpose, and that they don't know what to do right now in their marriage. They don't know what to do with their children, but yet then again, to hear that God is doing things and Christ Jesus gets all the glory through you too is just such a blessing. One thing I realize is that we don't want to make our past a residence. Right? We don't want to live in our past. We do want to testify and let folks know what Christ has brought us through. But ladies and gentlemen out there listening, do not doubt what Christ can do in your life. There's some excellent things waiting on you. Do not make your past your residence. You got two individuals here right now. Three if you want to count myself. Four if you want to count Cam, our producer, right? We got four individuals in this room right now who knows that making your past a residence is not where you want to live. I want to talk about these.
It all starts with submittance.
Submission.
Ephesians.
Submitting. Go ahead, brother.
Ephesians 5:22. Like the instructions for Christian households, submit to one another out of the reverence for Christ. You know, I had to submit to Christ first for my wife to submit to me.
Amen. Ooh.
It all starts with the submittance.
Boy, he about to take us somewhere.
It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. So in order for me to get my marriage in place, like I said, we had to separate, and I had to get my relationship back with God first.
Amen.
And I remember praying to God. I said, God, I'm going to follow you. Can you put your hand of protection upon my family? And I'm sitting in a jail cell praying.
Testify.
Into Freeway Ministries. Still praying. I ain't talked to my wife for 6-7 months. Okay, but he already had her, when I put myself to him and submitted to him, he already had her protected and guarded and safe. He got her into treatment, me into treatment. We didn't even know each other were in treatment. So that's what the miracle God does. God keeps his promises.
Yes, he does.
He keeps his promises.
He is
faithful. I have a pastor, like I said, Freeway Ministries. I'd like to give a shout out to Rick Lechner. He was a pastor.
I know,
shout out to Rick Lechner because he said in a service, you know, he said, we drug our wives through the mud. Now it's our responsibility to drag them to the cross.
I want to share this. Now, Sister Thesa.
Yes.
I want to get to something.
Okay.
You guys are currently raising your brother's daughter. Is that correct?
No, that was back then.
That was back then. Okay. Thesa, as a first lady, as well, I don't like that term, but as a pastor's wife, as a woman of faith, this guy has to get on your nerves sometimes, right? I know I get on my, because he's always studying, he's always teaching, he's always carrying the burdens of others on his back, right? helping others, running, because I know he drives the, which he needs volunteers. You're going to hear at the end. He needs volunteers to help drive these buses to pick these folks up, y'all, because he's doing it right now with a couple other brothers, Jacob and
my dad.
And his dad, who's a great man of God. So they need volunteers, right? So he can get focused on the ministry, the preaching and the teaching of God's word. As a woman of God, how do you deal with that? Those, because I know he works a full-time job. He's a provider, a protector, as well as a pastor. How do you deal with those moments of his absenteeism?
We do everything together.
Okay.
So, I guess when it comes to that, the only...
Sometimes we struggle.
Hold on. I'm going to cut off. I'm sorry,
okay,
brother.
Okay.
I want to hear from you. He's not the wife. You are.
I know.
How do you deal with him being absent? I know you guys work together,
yeah.
But you always looking at the pastor. You don't get to get the man sometimes. How do you deal with that? Because my wife has a conversation with me. She want me sometimes, but she always get the pastor. Every conversation goes back to what the word says. Every conversation goes back to confirm what God has called for me to do. But as a wife, how do you deal with that? You don't have to be elongated in your conversation. Just want to ask that question for those women out there who may be dealing with a man who's getting into ministry or been in ministry, not to be so hard on them. Come on.
Genuinely, the only issue I ever have is with his phone nonstop ringing.
Okay.
Other than that, we're pretty blessed. I don't have any complaints.
Well, there you go. That's great to hear, because a lot of times in ministry, when people are always carrying the burdens of others, they can become a burden on the marriage sometimes. Like, for instance, I just let my wife know Wednesdays, I have a Bible study every Wednesday at Scooters on 30th and Ames at 11 to 12:30. When I'm done with that, Wednesday's for me and my wife. All Wednesday. I mean, there's nothing else. Like, I don't want to hear from nobody. I don't want to deal with nobody. It's her and I talking. It's her and I movies. It's her and I's bowling or any activity she wants to do. If she just want to lay around the house and do nothing, that's what we're going to do, because I need to take that day to put focus on her spiritually, emotionally, physically, and her needs. Because if I don't, a lot of men have lost their relationships in the ministry because of that.
We do set aside one night a week for date night. That helps.
Okay.
And then also, if he has something that I can't go to, so I'm not so lonely, I may say, okay, Jamie, if he's got Wednesday Bible study, then me and her can have Wednesday Bible study.
Amen.
You know, I just fill my time.
Praise the Lord. Man, this is amazing. This is my first time having a husband and wife on, so I'm very much excited. My wife had an appointment, or she would have been here. And it would have been us too and y'all too. But yeah, my wife, she had an appointment today, but I'm so glad. One thing that my brother pastor hinted on, man, I want to go into Matthew 19, and I've taught this to a group of men before. Then I'm going to open it up to Pastor Mike to kind of let everybody know how you can volunteer, how you can reach him, and how you can reach his lovely wife, Thisa. And if you want to volunteer, monetary gifts, whatever you want to give, you can do so. I'm going to turn it over to him. But I want to leave a nugget or drop a gem to someone's heart, to you men out there. And to you women, to understand something in Matthew 19, it says in verse 5, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall twine, shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twined, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. That scripture, ladies and gentlemen, we need to realize that Christ Jesus is calling men to holiness. He's calling us men to holiness. Why? Because the scripture never says, Jesus never said that the wife is supposed to cleave unto the man. It says that he's supposed to cleave unto the wife, which means that we are supposed to be walking in a manner that is according to scripture, that's according to Christ Jesus, that's by the Holy Spirit, so that the woman can then look at the man and then see the man of God that he is, and then be cleaving and submissive unto him. Pastor Mike said it. He said he had to first get right with Christ so she could be the woman that could love him, which means, men of God, we got to be where Moses was, right? When he was receiving the Ten Commandments, we got to be in glory. We got what are people playing? Partying, hanging out. We got to be in the presence of God, receiving his word. So that's a call to men today. Buck up, men. Some of y'all out there, take your skirts off. We got to be men. And we got to be men of God. And we got to be firm on that as men of God. And we got to not conform ourselves to the ways of the world, but to stand strong so that our women can see manhood. Not just males. It's a difference between being a male and walking in manhood. We are to walk in manhood according to the scriptures, according to God. We thank you. We're going to turn it over right now to Pastor Mike to let those of you out there, listeners, know how you can get in contact with Cornerstone Heartland Church, how you can help. Your call is to help men, women. Now in the hands of Pastor Mike, then I'll close us out. Got about 2 minutes, my brother.
Cornerstone Heartland Church. We're located at 1501 North 33rd Street. We're a church. What we do is mainly we serve the homeless and the brokenness. Anybody out there, like she says, a device program. If you're homeless or not homeless, you can still come. I'm Pastor Michael Blair. My number is 402-214-5252 for you guys out there. And for the women out there, my wife's number, her name is Thisa Blair, 402-830-2308. We like to separate that as for the women. She deals with the women. I'll deal with the men, and on establishing and rebuilding relationships as going through. We do have services there, Friday night 7 p.m. Saturday 8 a.m. There's a men's Bible study. Sunday dinner every Sunday 6 p.m. A nice warm meal. After that, we have service at 7 o'clock. And on Tuesdays, there's a women's, I'm going to emphasize that again, women's prayer meeting, and that's at 10 a.m. Like I said, man, I love everything the miracles God's bringing in our lives today. None of this will be going without God, and that's for each and every one of us. That's not just our church, that's every church out there. You got to put God first. God completely restores, and if you persevere, anything is possible. All things are possible through God.
Amen, amen, hallelujah. Jesus Christ, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I just like to say one thing. I said last week, full yoke. And Thisa, thank you for all that you do. It doesn't go unnoticed. You might sit back in the back, but everybody appreciates you and the things that you do for us. It's amazing to see God work miracles, and I could not do this without you in a complete yoke by my side.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we ain't going to make Pastor Mike cry, y'all, but I feel him. Shout out to Ramona Ware, my beautiful wife. Shout out to all the women out there who stand next to these men of God that carry the burdens of others and that walk circumspectly in this world so that we can be holy, so when Christ calls on us, we're able to hear him and move in the way he has us to move. Shout out to all the wives, the daughters, the mothers, the aunts, those out there who support, and those women out there who toil and plow along with us men when we get tired. You rub our backs, you encourage us, and you love on us. You fix us the best meals. You rub our feet sometimes. We love you, women of God. Now may the grace of God and sweet communion of your Holy Spirit continue to rest, rule, and abide with us here, now, and forevermore, knowing that you can, you will, Lord, do exceedingly abundant great things than we can ask and or even think. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We thank EKG Environmental, our sponsor of Addictive Love. God bless Elder Robert Gould and his recovery.